Hello there, and welcome to another brand new episode of The Positive Psychology of Pop Music. I'm Wesley Ryan, and this week I'm thrilled to share the last of a three-part series spotlighting the music of my favorite pop group of all time, The Party. In the last few weeks, I've shared my interviews with The Party's Damon Pampalina and Dee Dee Magno Hall. And to close out our month-long celebration of The Party, we have none other than the one, the only, Chasen Hampton. We'll be getting to some of the music that's inspired Chasen throughout his own life and career in just a few minutes, but I have to say that one of my favorite parts of interviewing The Party was hearing about all the shenanigans they got up to back in their Mickey Mouse Club days. I also love hearing what some of their own favorite tracks from The Party are, and as Chasen was telling me some of the hijinks that he, Damon, and Albert got up to back in the day, I was over the moon to hear that what I affectionately call my favorite sexy time song of all time also happens to be one of his favorite tracks from The Party.
When you look back on The Party, what are the memories that stand out the most to you?
We were so young. I mean, it would have been cool to do it at an older age, you know, but at the same time, we could get away with so much because we were minors. And I think we figured that out very early, you know, whether it was taking the tutor's car and doing donuts in the parking lot or, you know, just playing jokes on each other in the hotels. Our parents weren't there a lot of times. So, and we were supervised. I don't want to make it sound like we were crazy, but we were teenagers, you know, teenagers on the road, 16 years old. Being on the bus, you know, late nights on the bus with these guys, and just, you know, the bond we have is insane. You know, it's definitely forever. I mean, we could go through anything and still be like, you know, bonded for life.
Yeah.
We were going around touting that we were a band already, just being rebellious and being silly, you know, not thinking about if you could ever lose your job or anything. They caught wind of that and they saw us wearing our hats and stuff, and they were like, okay, that's a good idea. And they might have even thought we were getting too crazy for the club, you know, and said, let's try to move them out and move some new people out. I don't know what their real thoughts, but I think it was a way for them to divest, you know, what they had gotten and just kind of see what would happen. And Hollywood Records was just starting up. So there's a couple of music numbers where it's just us five. I think, like, there was like Miss You Much. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple of other ones where you see The Party. And then we did Dancing in the Street. We went to do the Ace Awards in L.A. And at that point, the president of Hollywood Records met us upstairs at the Wiltern. And said, here's what we're going to do. Promising you the world, like, you know, like you see in the movies. We're like, yeah, okay. And technically, we were still on the Mickey Mouse Club.
Right.
Most of those seasons, we were still under contract. So even though we might not have seen us on that season, we were still under contract. And we'd still do appearances for the channel under contract for that reason. So we couldn't get too crazy because we were still under contract.
I remember I had the VHS of you guys. It was like your concert behind the scenes.
Party on tour or something?
Something like that, yeah.
Like, it's kind of muddy. We did a couple. I think we did one for the Disney Channel too. But then there was one that was like a VHS.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the one that
Party
I had.
Party Till You Drop tour.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
I was asking Damon what some of his favorite party songs were. So I was curious as to yours.
Ooh. Wow, that's a great question. I mean, this was like 40-something songs or something. Sometimes those songs aren't as big to other people, but they bring back a lot of memories for me because I remember where we were when we recorded them or what we were doing. So like the Dr. Dre song, even though it wasn't like a huge hit or a single, it was like that just brings back a lot of crazy memories. Let's get right down to it.
Yeah.
That was Let's Get Right Down to It from Chasen Hampton, Dee Dee Magno Hall, Albert Fields, Damon Pampalina, and Tiffany Hale, better known as The Party. That song has had quite the impact on me in my life, in ways that I will not be sharing with you in this episode. But what I'm happy to share are some of the songs that inspired The Party's own, Chasen Hampton, including a track that is very appropriately titled, Simply Beautiful.
What were some of the songs that inspired you growing up?
I'm an Al Green guy.
Good.
So, and most people were like, what? You know, like, oh, you're a singer. They just think I'm going to do rock already. I mean, I just heard that from Damon's babysitter earlier. You play guitar, like electric guitar? I'm like, eh, not really. But it's funny when people, I like gospel music. I always listen to it just because I love the way they feel music. And so it's mostly like gospel. And the 90s hip hop was huge. I'm sure Damon lit into that. My soul music was like Al Green. I had like the collection, you know, back then you could buy those collections of CDs, like B.B. King collection or the Al Green. The Al Green collection came in like white vinyl, and it was like, it looks like a Bible. You know, so that was like my Bible. And I literally memorized every song, just all the licks, you know.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what taught me to sing outside of theater and other things that I'd done as a kid, you know.
Probably an impossible question, but what's your favorite Al Green song?
Simply Beautiful.
Okay.
Most people don't know that song.
I don't know that song. I'm gonna admit it.
It's a great song. Yeah. Damon would be like, oh, I got that right now.
If I gave you my love, I'd tell you what I'd do.
Welcome back to the Positive Psychology of Pop Music, where this week, we're spotlighting the favorite songs of The Party's Chasin' Hampton. The Party has recorded over 50 tracks together, and as a Party Uber fan, I can promise you that just about every one of them has had some kind of impact on my life. And the next Party track you're about to hear is definitely towards the top of that list. Growing up in the mountains of Virginia in the 80s and 90s, surrounded by a family of quote-unquote tough guys, I was never really encouraged to open up, share how I felt, and admit that I needed help with really anything. I was always a very sensitive kid, but when I got into middle school and was bombarded by all of these pressures and messages about how boys were supposed to act, I started repressing all of those emotions, all of my fears, and everything I was going through. And I got really good at it. So good I didn't even know what I was feeling or going through anymore. But as psychologists will tell you, you can't make your feelings and thoughts just go poof, and if you push them down, they're still in there, ready to come out in some often unfortunate ways. Luckily for me, I had pop music to turn to. I had songs that allowed me to express how I was feeling without admitting that I felt that way. So deep down inside, I knew that I needed help, even though I never would have asked for it, and I'd actually convinced myself on some cognitive level that I didn't. But please believe, I belted out the lyrics to this song all the time. I can guarantee you I am not alone in that, and I also know that the song meant a great deal to Chasin himself.
I liked Needing Someone. It was like the first time I got a chance to be somebody else, because when we first got put in this band, there's five kids that don't play instruments, and Hollywood Records knows that. They're putting them in a band, and they're basically going, okay, the black guy does R&B, this kid over here, he's gonna rap, Italian kid, he's gonna rap, he's gonna be the speaker, the love, hey, baby, you know? And Chase is gonna do the rock songs. And so for the first, you know, album and a half or so, that's what it was. We had to fight that, because it's not really who we really were. And I'm needing somebody
That was Needin' Someone, a song that Chasin' Hampton recorded with The Party over 20 years ago. But what you hopefully know is that Chasin' is still making great and very moving music. In fact, his most recent single is one of the most impactful songs and videos I have ever seen. I am very fortunate that I have been able to turn the Positive Psychology of Pop Music radio show into an actual college class at Gulf Coast State College in Panama City, Florida. For a few hours each week, I get to share some of the most important positive psychological messages and connect them to songs and videos that make those points better than I ever could. And as a complete music geek, it is so cool for me to be able to expose my students to songs they may not have heard and to be able to hear how the songs have connected with them. I knew from the moment I heard and saw the video for Chasin's I Can't Breathe that I wanted it to be a part of this class. Racism is unfortunately still such a problem in our society, and I Can't Breathe highlights that in an incredibly moving and powerful way. I'd actually chatted with Chasin a few years back when the song was released about what he hoped people took away from the song in the video. So it was really rewarding for me, and I hope it's rewarding for him, to hear some of the comments from my students. Brittany Sanders said, I love this song. I agree completely how we need to turn the page on racism. Carrie Troya wrote, this video is really powerful in that I knew things were bad, but sometimes you don't realize how bad. This was an eye-opener that the issue with racism is still very much present. And April Weaver said, this was a hard video to watch, but I understand the tone and the message. It requires raw honesty and a sense of urgency. The video these students are referencing shows actual footage of people being shot and in some cases killed. It is a very tough video to watch, but I couldn't have said it any better than my students. We can't ignore what's actually happening, and we have to do something about it. And by creating such a powerful song and video, that's exactly what Chasen did with I Can't Breathe.
I'm teaching a class on the positive psychology of pop music now,
Okay. And
I have a unit that's all about prejudice and discrimination, and I show I Can't Breathe.
Oh, right on.
And I have the students write their responses to that.
Yeah.
And it mirrored a lot of the things we talked about a few years ago, how you didn't know. One of the students said, I didn't know if I liked seeing the actual footage in there, but then I realized that I had been ignoring it for so long, I need to see it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, are you still getting...
Oh, yeah. And then there's some people who know it exists, so they don't want to see it. They already know it exists. It's like monotonous to them, because they're like, yeah, duh. Some people, I get some feedback from people thinking I'm just trying to capitalize on that. But if anybody really knows anything about the industry right now, there's no money in selling music. I mean, whatever I sell musically, it's mostly never gonna on iTunes or whatever. It's not gonna cover what I spent to do the video and to do the production and to carry on. So, I just hope people appreciate the art.
Yeah, well, I can tell you that you've stirred conversations within
cool.
my students.
Well, that was the purpose. So.
Yeah, well, you've done it.
I've had multiple cops reach out.
Yeah?
And some very upset, and some being like, yeah, that's not me, so I'm cool with it.
But didn't you say you had a family member who was a police officer or a friend? Or?
I have a friend whose dad was a police officer.
That's what it was.
He was a little, he's cool with it. I mean, he totally gets it. I mean, his dad's passed on now and retired, but the world's changed. And, our attitudes towards police officers in general has changed. So, there are good cops out there, and then that definitely needs to be said and recognized. And I just didn't write a song about that. I wrote a song about the alternative. So I was only pushing the bad side of it just to wake people up.
When we talk about just how powerful of an impact music can have on us as a society, we have to realize that music can not only help us point out what the problems are, but also show us what the answer is. I will not at all pretend like there is a simple and easy solution to ending racism or bigotry of any kind, but I do honestly believe that if we all just tried to maintain a mindset of positivity and peace, that those answers would come much sooner. And even when I look back at the party in the early 90s, I always thought of Chase as that voice of peace, love, and understanding. Part of my perspective was probably shaped by the fact that he recorded a version of Peace, Love, and Understanding, but it turns out being that voice of peace and positivity was something that Chasen's always strived to achieve.
Especially that third and the fourth album, I always felt like you were like the spirit of peace, or because you had Peace, Love, and Understanding.
And I definitely embraced that.
I was thinking about, in the 80s you had We Are the World, and then you guys had so many songs that were really about like social change, and you see it, people try it, and it gets attention for a day, and then it just vanishes.
It also worked because we were all, look at us, we're completely different people,
It
kind of worked that way because it was like, okay, here's the black guy, here's the Filipino, here's the white chick from Barbados. What? I think on Casey Kasem, when they announced this, they even said, and then there's a redhead from a Cherokee reservation.
No matter what flag you pledge under, we're all the same. All this world needs is a little peace, love, and understanding.
Welcome back to the Positive Psychology of Pop Music. If you like what you hear, and I really hope you do, head on over to thepositivepsychologyofpopmusic.com for more episodes, more interviews, and more information on all of the members of the party. It was a lot of fun reminiscing with the party's Chasen Hampton about his favorite party tunes and even some of his earliest musical memories. And as we discussed why he's always seemed to have that positive, peaceful perspective, it lended itself to a perfect segue of one of the very first songs Chasen ever performed in one of his own party tracks about the pain of remembering what we've lost. Luckily, looking back on these particular memories had Chasen and I cracking up. But fair warning, this part of our conversation is going to segue into two very, very, very sad songs.
Now, I grew up doing that. Like when I was in competitions as a kid, my dad always kind of put that in me. He's like, you want to win, son? You do a patriotic song. And I'm like, all right. So I remember doing memory from Cats, my first competition. But I did it in a tuxedo. Like most people would dress up like the cat and do the whole thing, like from Cats.
Yeah.
And the Barbra Streisand version, you know, memory. And I would do it in front of an easel with the Challenger.
Yeah,
explosion.
The space shuttle, yeah.
And with Christy McAuliffe, the girl who died, you know, the explosion.
Yeah.
And so it was all about singing to them. And at the end, I wrapped up American flag and laid it on the easel. And like,
midnight, not a sound from the pavement. Has the moon lost her memory? She is smiling alone. Soft winds blowing the summertime.
I've been fortunate to spend a lot of time the last few months catching up with members of the Mickey Mouse Club, like Lindsay Alley, Damon Pampolina, Dee Dee Magno Hall, and Chasen himself. I had just as much fun hearing about what they're up to today. Damon has some really cool projects on the way and shared some never-before-heard music from the party with me. Dee Dee caught me up on all things Steven Universe. And if I haven't said it enough, watching Lindsay Alley's cabaret show Blood, Sweat, and Mouseketeers was one of the most entertaining and moving experiences of my entire life. That show is not only where I got the chance to interview Chasen, but to also hear him sing live on stage with both Lindsay and Damon. It was something I've waited a lifetime to hear, and it was really cool to see them connect as adults on a new and very fun project. And speaking of new and very fun projects that were a long time coming, Chasen spends much of his time these days waking up all hours of the night, running around his house, and keeping tabs on a very active brand new project. That's because Chasen and his beautiful wife have waited quite some time to become parents. You could see Chasen's newfound daddy pride all over his face, and as Chasen talks about singing to his beautiful daughter, Everly Love Hampton, you may catch a tear or two in my own eyes, and perhaps in yours as well.
Congratulations, by the way. How has that changed your life?
A lot. It's definitely put some perspective into things. You know what's funny about just randomly off subject? I totally get now why stay-at-home moms, you know, come, like, walk around in their sweatpants and no makeup, and, like, I mean, you literally cannot get anything done. And I don't know if you saw me post the other day I was singing to her.
No, I didn't see that.
Because, you always think, like, well, is she going to be a singer? Well, the industry is horrible, so, you know, I hope she sings for her own soul, but it's like, I don't want to kind of push her away from the business. And then I was singing to her, and I'm singing, all of a sudden I started singing When I See You Smile.
Oh, yeah.
From the show, because I did it on the show. And she lit up and started singing with me. Or like, you know, just not singing words. But she,
yeah.
And babbled through the whole thing. It's pretty funny. I'll show it to you. It's on my Facebook page.
Awesome.
But yeah, it's been an awesome gift.
Yeah.
We had a lot of prayers to get that little one.
Very cool.
I'm 42 now, so we'll see.
Yeah.
How long I can keep chasing her around. Maybe I'm lucky because it's a girl, not a boy.
You may regret that in about 10 years.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, man.
I'm already going to have to go out and purchase a gun and start working out and get some spyware.
My dad was a hunter, and he would bring his rifles out to clean them whenever my sister would bring home a boy.
Yeah.
I swear to God.
I've had that happen before. I've been at a girl's house, and I hear the gun cock outside. It's just like, is that necessary? I definitely know the sound. I'm from Oklahoma.
It's really cool for people like me who just were such huge fans to just continue to connect with you guys on social media. So what does it mean to you to have that level of support from people who've been following you for...
Are you kidding? I mean, we forget. We're human. So we have problems. We have issues. We have day-to-day problems, you know, just like anybody else. So it's like, it's real easy to forget. It's almost like another life or, you know, and years go by. And so, you know, I can't tell you how appreciative we are when people reach out and say stuff, and because we forget. And I swear to God, I mean, I was last Saturday, I took my wife to Outback. It was packed because it's so cold, you know. And I get in there, the guy offers me a seat, you know, because I had my baby, and I'm like, no, you sit down, I'll put my baby there, cool. And the wife just looks at me and goes, Chase? I was like, yeah. She's like, Wow. Okay. We started rapping a little bit, and the husband started talking, and she was kind of quiet, but she was very friendly. And I said, "Well, add me on Facebook. We're all on Facebook." She's like, "Everybody is?" And I'm like, "Yeah, everybody is." And so it hit me right then that still so many people have no idea that we're out there. They've just forgotten. They need to be reminded. How do you remind these people? It's so tough. There's so much noise now. There's so many. Everybody's on iTunes. Everybody this, that. So she got back to her table and messaged me that she was crying at her table and that she was adopted and one of the first women of color in her town. And that was every day she could come there and see us and relate and feel like she belonged to something and feel like she could be herself and not somebody else. It was her words. I got to be myself and not feel like I wanted to be somebody else, because she got bullied and stuff at school. But I was like, I literally started crying. I was like, oh my God, that's so touching, So I might talk about it tonight too when we're up there because it does mean a lot. It's very touching to us.
Well, to have that impact on her and then her success, everybody she's impacted, that's beautiful.
Exactly. And she said, now she has such an appreciation for the arts. And so many people tell me that, we have a couple of Grammy award winning or, nominated friends that got started because they wanted to be on the Mickey Mouse Club. They just were like inspired and were like, if they can do that, I can do that. And they went and did it.
The point of my show and the reason I did it is because, I was going through depression and coming out and all that stuff when I was a kid. And music was how I related to people and how I learned about people. So, what I wanted to do is to have a show where I can say the things that I wanted to hear when I was 11 and 12 and play the songs that helped me in some way when I was a kid. So.
And we hear that from many gay and lesbian fans. We have so many. And special needs, too. And that's very touching. I mean, we had a phone call the other day with a guy, a special needs kid. And it was the most fun phone call because literally he got so excited. We didn't even have to say anything. He started doing impressions and giving us statistics of our teen magazine. Like he was telling us how much we weighed and how tall we were. He was like, "You were 6 feet, but now you're 5'11". And I remembered that I used to say I was 6 feet, but I'm really 5'11". And I'm like, oh my God, this guy is amazing. It's like, so, and we love that. I mean, we got off the phone. We spent probably 30 or 45 minutes on the phone with the guy. Because we were having such a great time. But we still do that, and it's a great wake-up call still to have people come up and go, "Oh my God, I totally forgot about you guys."
I've spent a lot of time thinking about what would be the perfect song to end three full episodes of Inspiration from the Party. And when I played back the snippet you just heard, it all became very clear. I learned a lot from my chats with Damon, Dee Dee, and Chase, with one of the biggest takeaways being just how much they meant to each other and how much they still do. They had each other's back way back in the 90s, and it's very clear that they still do, as they're there to support all of their Mickey Mouse Club alumni however they can. And as I've reminisced about the party for the last few weeks personally, it's been nice to reflect on just how much the party's music meant to me and so many other people. They were there for us in ways they never could have imagined, and they still are. So as I listen to Chase and talk about reminiscing about the past with fans, realizing the impact they had, and then how he and all the members of the party take the time to still connect with their fans to this day, I knew I wanted to end the show with the parties in my life. As is often the case with pop music, on the surface it sounds like it's about romance, but all it takes is a little creativity to make the message much more broad and important. So as you listen to the lyrics of this one final party song, you'll hear two people fondly looking back at their past, recognizing they're in different places now, but admitting that they can't go on without each other in their lives. And that's how it is with the party and their fans. The messages and music I love from the party will always be a part of me. I have so many great memories of the past, but there are still ways I can support them and everything they're up to this day. Not to mention that I will never ever stop listening to the party's music. I'm so grateful to Dee Dee, to Damon, and to Chasen for supporting my show, which if you had said that to 10-year-old Wesley Ryan, his head would have literally exploded. So I'm leaving this month-long party celebration with a huge sense of gratitude and a huge sense of appreciation not just to the party, but also to each of you for supporting the show and letting me live my dreams. Here's hoping we can all keep being there for each other. And if you'd like to keep being there for Chasen and the rest of the party, head on over to thepositivepsychologyofpopmusic.com and check out the artist spotlight on the party. You can keep tabs on all of their latest projects and check out podcasts highlighting each of my interviews with the band. Thanks again for listening, and for the Positive Psychology of Pop Music, I'm Wesley Ryan, and within my life, this is the party.